Action Park Media.
The following program is rated TV-MA-LSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences.
This is
I'm fucking sore because I've never walked that much in my entire fucking life.
Hi,
ever.
Scout.
Hi, Dee. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm dealing good. I'm tired.
Oh, hey, you have your new sticker on your computer.
I do. I know. Isn't it cool?
I do. I got one too, but I didn't bring my computer today.
Oh, yeah, you didn't.
No.
Yeah, you inspired me with all your shit all over
it.
The computer. I was like, I need this.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to Talk Scary to Me.
Guys, I'm loving
Tuesday.
Our episodes. Our episodes are fucking funny. I'm like, there's so many times when I'm watching the clips to like post to TikTok and all that shit, I'm just like
laughing out loud.
I'm fucking laughing my ass off.
I know.
And I know we're laughing when we actually film these episodes, but I am just, I'm shocked by where the episodes go. How do they go in so many different crazy fucking directions?
That's why we started a podcast, Scout.
Is it?
I think so.
Man, it's all coming back to me.
We entertain ourselves.
That's what it is. You look great today. What happened? Did you get like laid this morning or something?
No.
Okay. What's going on?
I got some new makeup.
Okay. Okay. Your hair got diddled too?
It didn't get diddled. It's so outgrown. My extensions are my tape.
Oh, so it's long. So it seems long
because they're like this far outgrown. They're hanging on by one or two threads of hair.
Oh my God.
Literally since before I did the movie with Dwight, like it's been that long and I didn't curl it or do anything. And I actually like washed it and blow dried it today.
It looks good.
Thanks.
It looks really, really good. You look great.
Thanks.
I love you know, the tape and extensions or
they're tape.
The tape. Oh my God. It's so funny whenever, I don't get my hair done anymore now that you showed me how to do my hair.
Amazing.
But anyways, the tape and extensions.
How much money did that save you?
Fucking so much. It's like Starbucks for people, for me. Yeah. I'm like saving so much money
and
now.
And time too.
So much time.
Yeah.
It's like
we
such
a pain. We
could
do another episode of the podcast in the time you would normally be going to get your hair done.
I still feel like it takes me that long to do my hair though.
Right.
I think I'll get
but
better.
You don't have to go somewhere to do it at least.
Sorry guys, boring conversation about fucking hair extensions. But it's so embarrassing when you go and get your hair done and your tape ends are like sliding down.
Oh, it's awful.
And then they start blow drying your hair and it's pulling out.
I know.
And they just place it down. They're just like, oh, this one's gone. Oh, that one's gone. I'm like, okay, cool. Thanks, man.
Oh my God.
Expensive. And they're so expensive. Hair is so expensive.
I know. But you know, I only get them when I'm working on a movie because then I don't have to wash my hair for like 4 or 5 days because it stays.
Dude.
The curls, my hair doesn't keep a curl.
Oh, really?
No, dude. It falls right out.
I feel
out,
like mine does unless I'm like in Florida or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like with humidity. Then it sucks.
It's gross.
So the next job that I'm doing, well, not the next, the one after the job, after the next job, then that movie. Dee and I were just talking about our scheduling and I'm already exhausted and I haven't even started these three movies that I'm doing in the span of a month and a half.
Cry me a river.
I know.
I don't even have a fucking audition. I have like
girl,
nothing.
Do you know how many times
on.
I pitched you for a couple of these things too?
And they're like, nah, no thanks, pass.
No,
pass,
no.
Pass.
Well, the one was like, I was too old. So they were like, well, we need someone younger. I'm just like, whatever. Okay, fine, whatever. But anyways.
Wait, you were too old. They need someone younger. So you pitched
to play,
me?
Yeah.
No, you mean, wait.
You look younger than me.
Bullshit.
You really do. You do look very young.
Not younger than
so
you.
So I always pitch you for the 16-year-olds.
Amazing.
I'm like, oh yeah, 17-year-old just graduated, about to go to college. Great,
can
Danielle.
Totally do it.
but anyway, so they're doing. I'm gonna have like these side like braids and like all these dreads up top. I'm actually really stoked.
That's cool.
Right?
Have you been like, where'd you pick out that hairstyle? Did they do it, or so, did you look on Pinterest for like ideas?
Yeah, I did. Well, they were originally, you know, the director, I love him. I just met with him. He was like, well, are you interested in shaving the side of your head? And you know me, I'd be like, yes, but I'm up for a couple of things. So I was like, I can't do that.
It takes forever to grow back and it's going to look awful.
So I was like, well, let's do like the Burning Man thing. You know, I do like a lot of braids and stuff. And they're like, well, can we go a step further and add some dreads up top? I was like fuck yeah, we can.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be in Kentucky where my dude's parents are from and all his family. And they're very, I think they're reserved. So I'm like,
put a scarf
shit.
Over your head. But like, you're an actress.
Yeah.
Like,
but it's going to be so funny.
They have to get it. And if they've heard this show, they're like, already know what they're in for.
Yeah. Hey, guys, you want to help me pick out a color? I'm either going to do the tips red or blue. We'll make a poll.
Ooh.
Red or blue? I think red would be interesting.
Can you try? Well, you have to bleach the tips and then do it, right? Well, you're already blonde, though. Can't it just go over it?
Well, we're not going to touch my ends. Oh, we're going to touch the dreads.
Right. Okay,
and we're
going
to do whatever.
I think blue would be great with your eyes. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Can you do like a picture? Like, once we have this episode out, we'll post like different different looks on you to see. You know, that would be really cool.
Oh, man.
Oh, that sounds like fun,
right? Right? What's been going on in your corner?
Well, let's see. So I think I'm going to be in and I'm going to be producing this movie with a friend of mine.
Oh my God, amazing.
In if it all goes through and works, which I think it will, my friend Jeremy Spencer, who I did a music video for, he was Stephen Five Finger Death Punch.
Oh, cool.
And he's fucking awesome. So he wrote this really cool script called Splatter. And
cool name.
It's so dark comedy, fucked up, really fun.
Hell yeah.
So he's playing an inbred, so I would be his crazy, trashy sister that breaks out of jail. kind of like what's her name? Like Orange is the New Black, like Taryn's character.
Oh, nice.
But like in a horror movie.
Okay, cool.
Trying to get Dee involved. Hopefully she'll say yes.
Yeah.
It would be to be playing the role of Granny. I had to be to call her and be like, hey, listen, we're going to make you look really bad.
Do you want to play a granny?
But it's really funny and really wrong, and I'm hoping that she'll do it.
Oh, nice.
But so that's like end of August, early September.
Oh, good.
So that's kind of the next sort of fun thing. But I've worked with him and he's really cool and I'll have a good time, and it's in Nevada. And
oh my God.
So that would be really fun.
So great.
Just to like do something that I'm excited about.
Yeah.
You know, aside from our appearances and all that stuff that we have, we've got a very busy summer coming up.
So many.
I know.
Guys, stay tuned for all that stuff.
We'll
announce it all. There's a lot happening.
There's a lot going on. A lot going on. And I'm still hoping to direct my movie with Joe Dante. You know, we push the option. We have more time now. So, and I'm just getting in my time with my girlfriends and the kids and stuff here, you know, before I actually move state.
Leave.
Yeah. So things are good though.
That's good. How are you feeling about the move?
Good. You know, I think I'm good. I saw, so the people that bought my house did some weird shit to it. So then my husband's still talking to them. So like they're sending pictures of like, they did a couple nice things, but then some other like really
what weird stuff.
Like they took my office, which had the glass doors upstairs, and she made it into her shoe handbag showcase room.
How do people
How do people have that much money that they would do that? Like I mean, my closet was really nice, right? But like for me, I'm someone that never cares about washing the outside of my car, but the inside of my car always has to be clean.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I'm kind of opposite.
You want the outside to be clean, but the inside can be
My outside never stays clean for some reason. I don't know. A Toyota just always gets fucking dirty. Whenever there's wind in Los Angeles, I get my car washed every 2 days.
You do?
Yeah. Because it's crazy dirty all the time.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, like right now, I hate it. It's like
I have a truck, so it's like I never really care about the outside. But the inside has to be clean because I just can't. It's I don't care what the outside looks like as long as the inside feels good. It's kind of about people. Like, you know, the outside doesn't always necessarily match the inside.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
So a couple of funny things. So finally, to switch topics into something more interesting and fun. We finally used the sex toys that I bought like forever ago that I lost, and they were in a box and they ended up going to Texas, and David was like, wait, this isn't supposed to be here. So I brought it back home. and they're not all cracked up to what they're supposed to be.
What do you mean? So these are old toys that you've had that you guys kind of forgot?
No, it was the blow job machine that we were talking about.
Oh my God. Okay. Can you just, let's just paint this picture like a movie.
So.
Just how did it happen? What does the scene look like?
Well, I wasn't there.
Oh, so he did it without you.
I was out with the kids and he was like, hey, because he was trying in the morning and I was like, the kids were all over me and he was like, they won't even know. I'll just put it in from behind. And they're like running around, crawling on me. I was like, get the fuck off me. So I ended up leaving and left him hanging, you know, and as soon as I left, he's like, hey, where are those toys? Did you hide them? And I was like, actually they're under my desk. So in a box. So he pulled them out. I'm like, let me know how it goes, you know? So he didn't use the VR glasses and the thing that attaches with the woman. He just used the blowjob machine.
Yeah.
And, his dick kept getting jammed.
What?
His dick kept getting jammed and it kept turning off the machine.
There are some amazing doctors out there, but really the only ones that matter are the ones who actually take your insurance. With ZocDoc, you can focus on doctors who are in-network, putting you on the path to see the doctors who are right for you. No more wasting time hunting down Aunt Shirley's cash-only chiropractor or the dentist your coworker recommended who's out of your network. I use ZocDoc, and you should too. It's easy, painless, and easy to find quality doctors. ZocDoc is a free app that shows you doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. Every month, millions of people use ZocDoc, and I'm one of them. Go to ZocDoc.com/scary and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then start your search for a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/scary, ZocDoc.com/scary.
Apparently, there's different sizes.
So is your man just too big?
Apparently. He's like, not to toot my own horn, but he's like, it's a little too girthy. And I was like, the machine is too girthy or you're too girthy. And he was like, well, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I think.
Oh, my God.
So he's like, this is not. So I need suggestions, guys.
So what did it feel like? Did he tell you? No.
I think it didn't happen.
Yeah.
He was like, this is like, so.
What does it look like?
It's like a
metal? Like, is it metal?
It's like a Dyson. It's like, wow. It's like the filt. It's like it's big. It's a kind of a big situation.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like plastic and it's not.
I don't know. Like if I was a man and I just wanted a blowjob.
Yeah.
I just wanted a handy. If I saw like a big mech, a thing, if I would be like, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel good about myself sticking my dick in this. You know, like, which I don't think you would. I don't think if it was the opposite. Like, if we had a machine that we're like, yep, this
is it. What's the name of that?
I feel great about myself.
What was that thing? There's a machine that's a dildo. What the fuck is it called?
I wouldn't know. You'll know. I wouldn't know. I have no idea.
Does anyone know? It's like a horse. It's like a thing that you...
Oh, the thing that you sit on?
That you sit on and I don't remember what it's called, but I was always like, well, that sounds gross.
No, that sounds awful.
Speaking of a new kind of toy.
Okay, new toys.
We did find this, which this is so weird and it seems so uncomfortable
and so awful. David just sitting in the bed like researching toys?
No, he sends them to me. He texts me this shit. And I'm like, okay, so, but I printed it out.
Okay. All right.
Which is funny
is
because it came up on the printer and Carter pulled the papers out of the printer.
Oh my God.
And I was like, mommy,
what is this? Again,
like,
Danielle's kids.
Give me those papers. thank God they have no idea what it is.
Yes.
So it's called Baldo.
Baldo?
Baldo.
Sounds like Waldo.
Yes, Baldo.
Where's Waldo?
So basically, it is super soft comfort. It says balls are sensitive. Super stretchy upper ring opens out to put on your balls like underwear.
What?
This is what it looks like.
Put on your balls like underwear?
This is what it looks like. So basically, you're having
sex. Is
that
a hand on that side?
Yeah. It's his, he's like, well, here's his dick.
Okay.
And so basically, you guys, and there's like three rings, so it easily gets your balls in. So you're putting your balls in like what looks like a dildo. So you're fucking with your balls.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So not your dick, you're fucking with your balls.
Why is that so disturbing to me?
I know balls are super sensitive, you know,
yeah.
Guys like you grab their balls, squeeze them.
So how does that
or whatever? I guess they're really, really sensitive. So it says our patented inner core keeps the side legs firm for thrusting, but still allows the upper ring to stretch wide enough for the ease of putting it on. So I guess it's just it's almost like your vagina would be kind of rubbing against the side of the balls, but like the woman's still getting pleasure because there's a tip to it. So it's like a penis, but the guy's getting, yeah. I don't know what to make of this.
So you ordered one.
I didn't. Because my husband was like, I'm not into that.
Really?
No. He's like, I don't want to.
I figured he'd be into that.
No. He's like, I don't want to fuck you with my balls. No. And that's weird for me, too. I mean, imagine like trying to cram your dude's balls into your vagina.
No. No. Why? Why?
Why?
Why would you want to? Why?
It's weird, right?
Oh, is that going to be like the new thing?
It is the new thing. That's
is it
what
the
I'm
new fucking
say.
Thing
it's
that kids the are doing now? There's there.
I don't know about kids, but
well,
you
when
kids.
when was the ass thing a thing? When was sticking the dick in the ass become a thing? And now
I
it's
think
like
that was like back
now we're
when
just
we
gonna
were
fuck
like
you with our balls.
I think the dick has been in the ass for many centuries.
Oh my God, that is insane.
I think ball play is the new thing.
Ball play.
I think where else are you going to go? Like, what else is there to invent?
Do you like, I mean, it's kind of like I forget that the balls are there unless I'm giving a blowjob or something.
Really?
Yeah. I don't see myself a lot of the time.
Like grabbing them?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm on top, maybe I will.
Yeah.
But like.
Do the reach around?
Yeah. Reach around. Yeah. Try to keep your balance while you're doing the reach around, everybody.
That's why you got to go reverse cowgirl.
Oh, yeah. I wish dudes would just like switch just so they can see what it's like. I mean, it's a lot of balance, especially like when you're like standing on your legs. Oh my God. Okay. Let's not like just try to describe this kind of stuff. It's a lot of fucking workout.
Standing on your legs. So you, so,
like you're squatting, you're standing on your legs.
You can only do that for like 8 seconds.
Thighs.
Burn, 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 burn.
And then you have the reach around.
Yeah. No, you're supposed to be on your knee. I mean.
No, but I get more, I don't know.
But it doesn't do anything for you to like.
No, it's just doing stuff for them.
That seems so awkwardly complicated.
Complicated.
I mean, and listen, you know, and also, guys, when your woman's on top, I know you have balls. Can you close your legs a little bit so I can get on top properly?
Oh, yeah. I never thought about it. Okay.
Maybe because I'm short.
Oh,
and
yeah.
My dudes
that's
are
right.
Big.
Yeah.
I don't have much reach between my hips and my knees.
Oh.
So if you want me to be able to move, like, can you please just like, because dudes like spread their legs like this. You're like, I can't actually do anything unless you just close your fucking legs. Can you please help a woman out?
I mean, that's good. That's good advice. If you're dating a shorty,
close your legs.
Close your legs.
Otherwise, I have nowhere to go, bro. So anyway, on that note,
God, I love it.
That's what's new in the sex world.
Man, that's crazy. I haven't heard about that. I have not heard about that at all.
Leave it to my husband to find this weird shit.
Wow.
So we got a really nice, lovely. We love when you guys write to us. Obviously, you know we read everything.
Yes.
And everything.
Yes, we do.
And there was a really awesome email we got. I'm just going to skip to the part that talks about us because we got a submission for a true crime, which I'm going to do, so I don't want to talk about that
nice,
one. But
nice.
But this is really, really lovely. And it was really well written. And I just wanted to share it because we do love getting compliments from you guys. Obviously, it makes us feel really good. So we thank you. So this person, his name is Jace. Jace says, on a personal note, and you don't have to read this on the show if you don't want to, and I did want to. So I just want to say thank you for always being such awesome gals to us fans. I know some of us are a bit much, and I've seen firsthand how some will overstay a welcome or maybe voice something that's inappropriate. But for the vast majority, I hope we treat you ladies with the proper respect and love you deserve. I've not yet met Scout outside of a quick hey, hello, but I've met Danielle a couple of times and even gave her an article I wrote about her that never made it to print at Motor City Nightmares once. And I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
She's as gracious and sweet as as you can be. I've got a daughter who's entering her teens, and I'm proud that her icons in horror are tough, resilient, smart women who never give up. Hmm. Also, as a semi-successful horror screenwriter, by that I mean I've made some small steps that have gotten me some truly good friends in the industry, I want to thank you both for creating the type of characters that should remain the norm. I tend to write strong, empowering women in my scripts, and I can't thank you enough for being templates for what women can achieve and portray in our genre. So I never go into a project without that on the forefront. You guys own horror. It would be nothing without women being there to carry it on your shoulders and make it as effective, frightening, and as exciting as it is. All the best, Jace.
Oh, that's so nice.
Isn't that nice?
Oh my God. I love that.
Me too.
I really do.
What a lovely, because we don't ever think, you're just kind of like doing your job, you know? You don't ever think about that. And it always is shocking when someone comes up and they're like, you're my idol, or you've inspired me, or you get, and it's like, what? I don't know what we've done other than just sort of show up and do the best we can to portray
and be ourselves,
that character, that person, which really is just us. I mean, I don't create other people. Do you really? I mean, you play different roles than me, though. You have way more fun, like crazy.
Really?
Yeah, I'm always kind of like the same. You know, if you watch my stuff, it's always kind of the same. Mm-hmm. It's just like me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to not bring me to the role.
I always. Same. I know, I feel that way too whenever someone says, I also too don't take compliments very well. So when I am at cons and someone says, like, oh my God, you're my idol, or blah, 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 I love this, or I look up to you, or I named my daughter after you, or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what?
That's so odd.
It's like shocking.
People tell me too, I've named my daughter Jamie, and it's like, I've said this before, don't you know Jamie stabs her
people?
Mom? So maybe you should name your daughter after someone that killed someone.
I mean, we have talked about this. I want to play something because it's just like, on my mind right now.
Okay.
And I was listening to it on the way here, and I just, it just kind of shocked me.
Uh-oh.
And I didn't know how to react. And I was just curious as to get your reaction.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so let me turn this guy up here really quick. Okay.
911.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Hi, can I help you?
My name is Charles Hendricks Foster. And I am about ready to kill my wife.
What's your address?
This is not a joke. Shut up and listen to me.
Okay, first I need your address and then I'll shut up.
Shut up and listen. I'm not kidding, ma'am. I deserve to go to jail for murder. I want to kill her.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. I can't hear you.
Tell me your name again.
Pardon me, ma'am?
Your name?
Oh, my name is Charles Hendricks Foster. You send a cop out here right now. Please.
Okay.
I want to hurt this woman real bad.
What's her name?
Pardon me, ma'am?
Yes.
Whatever.
She can't fucking type fast enough.
No.
Do you hear how fast she's
she's
help.
I mean, it's like so nuts. Like,
is there more to that message or no?
No, 911 operators, like I can't imagine the calls that they get. So apparently he was a recovering alcoholic.
Where did you hear this?
It was TikTok.
Oh, got it.
TikTok on the drive here. I guess he was drinking too much, and his wife like got on him and says like the drinking is ruining our marriage, and he got upset. So it was pretty much a fight. And
okay.
She just pissed him off enough that he was just like, I want to fucking hurt you. Like, I hate you. I don't like you anymore. I want to kill you. And so he called them before he did anything. And they sent a cop over, and he comes out, and I guess he has blood on his nose, and he comes out calmly with a cigarette, and they ask, where's your wife? And he's just like, she's in there.
Did he kill her?
So he didn't. Luckily, he called and the cops arrived, but he slit her throat and stabbed her a couple of times.
So he tried to kill her.
He tried to kill her, but she was saved. But it's just like, how do you stay calm as a 911 operator getting these kind of calls all the time? And just, I
don't know what kind of training they have to go through, but I'm going to guess that it's pretty extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could make or break I mean, you could hear she was handling him with kid gloves.
Yeah.
The way she was talking to him after that was like, okay, what's
and
your name?
He was even using ma'am, like all manners, you know?
I know.
And they have to be nice. I mean, there's so many 911 calls that I listen to all the time on TikTok. I'm like, that's my new thing now is I'm like listening to all these 911 calls. And they have, to be nice. They have to, yeah, it does stress me out.
I was like,
does stress me out.
I mean,
but also looking at cases and shit, like, you know, all my dreams are now cases and murder cases. I'm like, what the fuck? Why is my dreams not normal anymore? Like, because I'm just looking up murder all the time. No,
it's like me watching face transplant videos. Yeah, like, don't do that
and
to yourself.
And all of our TikTok, like, thing is just all murders now. Murders.
I know.
Murders
of
and
course.
Murders and 911 calls.
Yeah, so that's, fucking frightening.
Yeah.
You know, I was driving here today and well, every day I keep thinking about this, but, I get alerts of like daily news stuff on my phone. And, you know, we've been looking into like crazy cases and crazy murder and this and that, but there's so much fucking shit every single day that's happening on a daily basis. Yeah. That's so real.
Yep.
That we don't even really need to dig into old stuff. We can just like
talk I was just
about,
thinking that
like, what's going on.
I was just thinking that. I pulled up like three things that were happening like yesterday, like last week. I was like, this case. There's so much shit.
I saw something.
People are loco.
They're
like literally.
Like I don't know what the fuck
what
is going
the
on.
Fuck did you hear about the Disneyland guy?
No. Oh God.
This guy, like apparently really close to Orlando, Disney World, he murdered his family.
His whole family?
And he's known as the Disney guy. Yeah, I was like, what the
How
fuck?
How about the parents that left their autistic daughter decomposed
what
on the couch? They left her in there for 17 years or whatever.
People deserve to rot.
What happened?
Just like they let their daughter.
How? She was eating the fucking sofa.
How? Like they were saying, the coroner was saying that her body, like the shape of her body, like he couldn't
even
tell.
Did you see the couch?
Yeah. He couldn't even tell where her butt started, where it started with the leg. He couldn't
see a body
anymore. The wood
floor is buckling underneath the sofa from
feces.
How
do you leave your child there for 12 years?
How do you live in the room with your child as she's starving to death, sitting in her own shit?
That they bailed themselves out?
Yes.
Oh, just sorry. Your bail, each of
$300,000. And then the bail's bondsman came with a little bit short, $3,000 short or something. And then he came back and I don't, how are, again, here we go. How are some people have $1 million bail?
Yeah.
And these fuckers get out on $300,000.
I mean, people didn't know that this girl existed. They had no idea.
And they're out like on vacation.
How?
I know.
Why? Why?
I don't
Why?
Know. And do you hear bodies were found in Lake Mead again?
Yes,
I
did.
They found a barrel of a guy from.
Well, they first found a barrel that it was empty, and then they found
another barrel,
one.
Right?
So now
Someone
they think there's a serial killer.
Someone gunshot from the 70s or 80s. They think that body.
Oh,
was
I didn't hear that.
How do you know? How I just wonder what you have to ask your dad. What is? Mm-hmm. How do they know when the year was that the body was probably put in
you
there?
You can tell by the bones.
By the bones.
Yeah, bones tell you everything. Bones tell you everything. We'll get my dad on the show.
So that's what I was thinking.
He loves to talk about bones.
So I want to add two elements to the show.
Yeah.
One being your dad.
Okay. I don't know. That's, you know what? No. What? I
all
say
the time.
No.
Not all the time. Just once in a while. Like,
oh my
as
God,
a
you
special.
Think I'm bad? My dad would be like, oh, fucking pussy. Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay. Ducks. Dicks and dicks and dicks.
So I'm just curious.
Hell no.
I just want to, because you're, you know, listen, he doesn't have to come in. He can just come, like, call in or something and we can just ask him questions.
You haven't met my father.
I haven't.
Okay.
But, you know, I also have all my friends are cops, right? So, our one of our very close friends is a sergeant. So, actually two sergeants, but, he's retired, but he's got amazing stories. So I was like, hey, you know, Sarge, I want him to come in and give it like, help us with this stuff. Like what's their protocol? How does this go?
It's a lot.
I have a lot of questions.
It's a lot. And, you know, honestly.
And you can bring in a coroner. I could bring in a fucking sergeant. Like, let's do that. That's really cool to get that information.
Well, there's a lot of people that write us. Like, one guy
who is a mortician, he wrote in and he was like, you know, what you guys said on a certain episode. He's like, I wanted to put some input.
Great.
You know, I think it's great. I think it would be interesting to even like incorporate people out there
that do this stuff.
You know, that kind of want to come in on a case or something every once in a while.
I would love that.
Yeah.
Super, super cool. Yeah. I mean, who else can bring that on their show?
Yeah, that's true.
Aside from us.
That is true.
Okay, let me see what else I have.
You got a love. You got a sex love question in there?
Let me see. Yes, I do. Okay. So, you know, there's a lot of like, there was some pretty, I don't know what everybody's going through, but there was some pretty heavy questions recently, which I love that you guys are
you're feeling comfortable enough sending us questions like that.
I mean, we could talk about like fucking with balls all day long, but this is also really important. Mm-hmm. So I've got a couple of ones that came in that I think are really important, and I would love to kind of just go over that stuff. So this person would like to remain anonymous. They say, hi, Danielle and Scout. I'd like to remain anonymous. I loved you both in Halloween movies. Danielle loved you in the movie Urban Legends. Scout loved you when you played Lita Ford in The Runaways.
Woo.
I've been seeing this guy for a couple of months now, and everything's been going great. The connection we have is something I've never experienced before. In a short time, we've come to be able to be 100% ourselves around each other. The sex is amazing. The time we spend together is never dull. However, with things being so perfect, it is bringing up a lot of anxiety from past traumas I have suffered. To keep it brief, I grew up watching my mom go from toxic relationship to toxic relationship. I never saw what it was like to have a stable relationship. All I saw growing up was lying, cheating, and even witnessed my mom be a victim of domestic violence. With all of this, it's brought me to have trust issues and the anxiety that any romantic relationship I will inevitably, and excuse me, and the anxiety that any romantic relationship I have will inevitably end. Though it may be too soon to tell, I feel the guy I'm seeing now may be the one for me. With everything being so perfect, it's hard to trust that it's not all going to crumble, and my anxieties will sometimes lead me to unintentionally self-sabotage. Mm. I would appreciate any advice on how to work past this and be happy with everything going so well. Thanks to you both. Keep up the amazing work you both do. Love.
I mean, that's just so much. That's just trauma. You know, unfortunately, that's trauma that you got from your parents, and we talked about this. You know, there's a lot of times that I will go back to an old habit and I'll sabotage, and I'm like, why am I doing that? Why am I going back to old wounds?
Right.
And that's not even hers.
It's her mom's.
That shit's hard, you know? That's why parents really need to understand what they do in front of their kids. They fucking carry that shit.
Yeah.
You know? But I think she just has to like realize that that's not her shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's not her stuff.
And also finding the strength as a parent to get help and to take yourself out of these situations, especially when you have children around that are seeing this.
Yeah.
You know, the fighting, I mean, fighting in front of your kids and domestic violence and all of that stuff is just
damaging. It's very damaging.
Your child. I don't know why. I mean, I get it. It's hard to leave and it's scary. And, you know, financially it's very difficult. And is it better to have two parents in the household? Not when it's like this.
Yeah, no,
it's,
no.
It's, gosh.
I mean, unfortunately I feel like that's something that she's going to have to just go seek help for herself to just see, you know, we talk about therapy and all that. And I think it's still stand by it. It's
wonderful. And I think when those feelings come up, those anxieties come up when things are going good, I think being honest about it with your partner in the moment and tell them I'm feeling this way. And I know that it's not like in therapy, I'll say like I know in my brain, like my brain knows that this thought is wrong, but my body, the feeling in my body is still making my brain confused.
Yeah. So my therapist told me whenever I feel doubt, whenever I feel angry, whenever I want to say something negative, that just comes out of nowhere, to take myself out of the situation and go write down what is it that I actually want? What is it in the situation that will make me happy? Like, just start writing those things down and take your time to yourself and then go back into the situation. It's helped actually a lot for me.
That's interesting.
To just realize, okay, this is my negative shit. Negative space is nothing to do with my partner at all.
Right.
So I'm going to excuse myself, find it, what it is that I love, what makes me happy, and get into that headspace before returning back to my partner, because there's no reason to like damage his happiness.
No, I know.
With it's my own true. Shit.
Right, right.
You know, if we continue to just like damage right. each other's like fucking bubbles.
Because you know how many times we say like, we know this has nothing to do with us, or you know this has nothing to do with you. So being on the other side of that, I think it's important. It would help if your person were to say to you, this has nothing to do with you. This is bringing up weird stuff for me and I need to work it through. We need to work through it rather, or we need to talk about it and just know like it's triggering something and I don't know know what is going on, but it's not your fault.
Well, at least he realizes it too. Yeah. You know, she notices probably she's had that pattern in the past and she doesn't want to like push this guy away.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. Being open and honest, and you know how think of it on his end. If you did push him away and this relationship didn't work out, imagine the darkness that he's going to feel, you know, and he's just going to be like, what did I do? What happened? Like everything was fine.
Right. Don't shoot yourself in the foot.
And it might make you feel better. If you did talk to him, because he might say something that might help you.
If he's your person, then you guys can work through this together. Because if he is your person and you end up marrying him or being with him or partnering forever, whatever you want to do, he will be able to help you work through these traumas as your person and as your partner. And you're going to need him to do that with you.
Yeah.
You can't do this solely by yourself.
Yeah.
Especially if, you know, you're in a relationship. So work together to come out on the other side. And I think it's a great place to start. The fact that you're aware of it.
Yes. Is a good thing. That's like the first start.
It's the first start. The fact that you're like, I know this has nothing to do with him. It's my own shit. Great. There
you
go.
Do you know how many years I was like, no.
No, it's you.
It's you.
You're making me feel this way.
I'm great.
Have you ever said that when someone's like, you, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I know, I don't, I can't, I used to say this, I used to drive my boyfriends nuts. I'm always said like, I can't make you feel anyway. You feel how you feel and that's on you. I'm not making you feel.
Yeah.
You can choose to feel however you want to feel.
Yeah.
I'm not making you feel anything. No, they drive them nuts.
I'm queen of, I'm going to give you a scenario that'll make you feel like how I feel.
Really? You do that?
I used to.
Give me an example. Do you have an example?
No, I would just be like, I was like, how can you not imagine what I'm feeling? It's like if I was to do this, or you were to do this to you, how would you feel? And you just—
Does it ever work?
No, because you can't predict what anybody would feel. You guys all, everybody feels different.
Right.
So, you know, what fucking really hurts you probably doesn't hurt them at all.
It's like my relationship. I was like, who cares?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I don't care. I don't have time for this.
You're so good
at
that.
You're so stressed out about
it. You really are. You're like the peacemaker, which is so good. It is really, really great.
I just don't, it's just not important to me. But it took me a really long time to get there.
Totally.
You know, I was always with my girlfriends. I was always carrying around so much guilt of like not being enough to everybody. And I need to spend time with you. And I would like, things would keep me up at night and I would be freaked out. But I got a lot of shit from girlfriends growing up about not giving them the attention that they wanted. And I was like, I'm traveling, I'm working, I'm trying my best,
living,
you know,
my life,
trying. And there was no life. It was like, well, but because I think everybody depended on me to give them life, to get them into the club and make them dinner and have them over to my house because I was the one that had the parties. And it was like, I introduced the friends to the friends and I organized the events. And it was all like, if I didn't do it, nobody was doing it.
Yeah.
And then I got older and was like, wait a minute. When's the last time somebody invited me over for dinner?
I know.
When's the last someone called me and said, we're going out. Do you want to come?
It's so interesting. It's actually maybe a little advice here. I've kind of come to the conclusion, I've got like a handful of friends, like a handful, and everybody else, but I also know how to place them. Like I know exactly what each friend is for and what I'm going to get from them and what I'm, you know, and it kind of like actually helps.
Who gives you what? You know who to go to.
It really helps because you don't get so hurt or you don't expect. Because I'm the person I'm all like, I'd fucking do anything. I would I'd bail you out. I'd be the first call, whatever you fucking need. I will, whoever it is. And there's not a lot of people out there that are like, like you and I. I don't think that there's that many,
there isn't
many breeds out
there. I haven't
especially in La La Land in here, Los Angeles.
Jesus Christ.
You know, I used to get so fucking hurt with like my best friend. And I was just like, man, you've like really like have hurt me over and over and over. And you like don't get it.
Yeah.
And I just came to the conclusion. I was like, wow, I just have to stop expecting that this person will do what I would do.
That's sad, though.
I know. It's so fucking sad. It is sad. I mean, you're on that list. You're on that list. But it's like, but it's hard. There's the people here. It's hard.
When you have kids, you're going to be like, fuck off. I can't deal with you.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm already like that. I'm ready to move to Nashville and like create a new, you know, have my circle.
Yeah.
And then create some new shit.
I mean, I've got like but you know, for me, I still have hope. Like I have some of those girlfriends that I'm like, I just fantasize about going back to the way our relationship used to be 10 years ago.
Same. I reached out to you. Yeah.
And then they like let you down.
Yeah.
And you're like, why was I?
Why did I expect this
to be different?
Yeah.
When it's exactly what I thought it was going
to
be.
Friendships are equal to a relationship, with a partner. It's the same intimate shit. So would you handle it? Would you stick with it in a partner? No, so you don't stick to it in a friendship.
No.
It's the same shit.
I'm always the person that if things are bad or not working out in my friendships, I sit down with you at lunch and I break up with you.
Oh, that's great.
I do. I've had like
I'm not there yet.
No, you're not there. I've had straight up sat down and been like, I can't be friends with you because you did this.
But I have sat down and been like, this is not going to happen anymore. I don't expect any, I guess I have to learn that, like when to let people go and it's right.
You'll know.
Yeah.
I always say, am I there? I just had this conversation. When I'm done, I'm done.
Yeah.
But I'm not. And I'm not
getting
sometimes
there.
Sometimes I'm not done yet. When you know, you're like, I'm done. And once I've made that decision, it's not a bad breakup.
Yeah.
Because I've already have resolution. Yeah. Nothing I do comes out of or in the middle of chaos or anger or like, you know, I don't even know. I guess it's just chaos.
You know what it is? It's these fucking people. Talk and Los Angeles, the community, the entertainment business is so small.
Yeah.
So if you end a friendship, it fucking it's like telephone. It becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And then when you meet someone new, they're like, oh yeah, I heard something about you. And
oh, I've never experienced that.
Oh my God, dude, this tight circle that I have with like these old girlfriends.
Right.
It is nuts how many people that
are they all actresses?
All actresses.
That's why.
And that's what it is.
That's
oh my
why.
God. I was just like, I don't want any more actor, actresses, friends.
No.
I do not.
Or you have an actor, actress
that's why
friend
like crew.
That isn't
crew guys,
really
crew people.
Like the actress.
Yeah.
Like I've got actress friends.
But there's not
friends.
That many.
You know what? Let's call them talent.
Yeah.
Not actresses. Because you know, some people are just, you're like, oh, they're trying to produce. Oh, but they're actually talent.
Yeah.
They're like, they're not really want to be here and produce. They want to like show up and like just be, get their chair ready and like get in makeup.
Yeah.
I've worked with directors like that too.
Yeah.
Like,
it's hard. It's hard. You know, there's different kinds of breeds in this entertainment world. And I feel like it takes a long time to find the good ones.
It does.
It really does, man.
Yeah, because we're all fucking crazy.
Like, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Jesus.
So I have another, this is another really heavy one.
Yeah.
It's going to be a day one of those days.
Let's do it. This case will be heavy too. So.
Let me see if I want to do this one or this one. These are both kind of heavy. Let's just do this one right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not going to say her name yet. She said, I just recently started listening to your podcast and I absolutely love it. I kind of have an embarrassing question. I mean, I don't know why it should be embarrassing, but it is to me. Well, I don't have sex as much as you most likely should, but I have sex with myself. I enjoy it and I really enjoy it when I'm doing it. But afterwards, I always feel bad about it and like I'm disgusting.
Hmm.
But I don't know why. I try to tell myself that it's a normal thing. Everyone needs to learn their bodies and what they like. And trust me, I do love myself. I do a better job than most of the men I've been with. Girl, we all do.
Mm-hmm.
But I always feel guilty and like I'm disgusting. I could really use the advice on how to tell myself that it's a normal thing. I suffer from bad anxiety and I don't know if that takes a major role in it. Also, another thing, I always feel embarrassed to go into sex shops and get toys. I'm absolutely terrified of being laughed at or judged for what I buy. I love you guys and keep doing what you do. When I read this, the image that popped into my head, and I don't know why, was how sometimes when a guy really is into you and he's like, just wants to get you in bed, and then after he comes, he like discards you. Or is like, I'll call you a cab. I mean, it hasn't been done to me, thank God, but I've heard stories or seen or heard guys talk about it. And you're like, how did it shift? The moment you got off, it shifted to like disgust almost or disdain or I don't know. And I think about like murders, you know, when it's like all exciting and the person's aroused and then they have sex. Like, how can you, and then all of a sudden you're like, I'm going to dump your body in a fucking ditch. Like, how can you be aroused and then discard? So there's like a level of disgust that I understand. Mm-hmm. I think it's gotta be a psychological thing. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know, but I think that it's not as uncommon as you think. First of all, I think something in the wiring may just be a little bit tricky. But I don't think that there's anything wrong with feeling that way. I just think you got to get to the bottom of maybe what's causing you to feel that way. It's normal to masturbate. It's normal to have, like, you have to. You have to take care of yourself and get to know your body.
It also could just easily be like a confidence thing. You know, she's just not confident within herself and maybe possibly with other partners. She's just more confident being by herself.
Yeah.
I mean, I had that issue. I mean, when I went to SLA and I had sex, love, addiction problems, like when I wasn't in a relationship or wasn't with anybody, I would masturbate like a lot.
Yeah.
Like when I masturbated, it was like, I could sit
like
there
three
for
times.
A half an hour or an hour.
Me too.
Just off and on masturbating.
Yeah.
And I felt like shit.
Gross, right?
I felt awful.
Me too.
I felt gross. I think it's a very common thing.
I've done
that. But that was a lot of self-confidence
within
myself.
But the feeling of wanting to, you didn't feel gross about the idea of doing it, right? It was only after you got off
that you
felt
off.
Like, yuck.
I was just like, how can I just sit here and just get off?
So was it about?
Off and off and off and off.
Do you think it was about that you should be doing something else? Or what do you think the disgust came from?
I think it was, I was self-conscious within myself and I had to be in a relationship to feel loved. Mm. And it was like all this shit. And so I obviously wanted to be pleased, but I didn't know how to love someone in a healthy way. So I just would kind of just close off and go into that dark bubble with myself.
I think mine was like stress, anger, anxiety, frustration. Mm-hmm. And I just needed to release something, you know, to get it out of my body. And I thought that getting off would do that. And then once I got off it, I still felt the same way.
Yeah.
And then I would be, it
frustrating.
Would like,
yeah. Yeah.
More, it would gross me out even more that I was almost using that, but I don't know because you know, sex addiction issues too. So I was never quite sure really what was wrong with me, but I understand. So we understand that there's,
it's very, very
like
common. You're not alone.
No.
It's very, very, very common thing. And I also think it's just something that you're going through right now. It's not going to be forever.
It won't be forever. No.
That you're going through that feeling, but you could feel really, really fucking lost when you're in that.
And don't go into a store to buy stuff. Just buy shit online.
Yeah, like there you go.
Just buy shit online.
I remember I was so fucking nervous.
So nervous.
Like, for a while going into sex shops, you know?
Of course.
There's a lot of knowledge out there that I'm not aware of. Danielle is, but I'm not.
I'm teaching. And I'll teach you too.
Yeah.
So. Order your shit online. But just it's normal. I guess just I don't really have any advice on how to get through it, except to know that this too shall pass and it's okay. And we both have gone through it and felt grossed out by ourselves after doing it. So, you know, it's not you, you're not alone.
Yeah, totally.
You want to talk about killing?
Let's do it. This is a long case, so bear with me, Danielle.
Okay.
So I first heard about this story when I was traveling from Vegas to Los Angeles.
Okay.
And it was on Dateline. Mm. It was one of the podcasts, and it was called The Thing About Pam.
Oh, yes.
Fucking
The Thing About Pam.
I was freaking out. I was freaking out when I heard about this story.
There's a show already come on. Yeah, I know
Hulu.
Renee,
have you not seen
Zellweger.
It?
I have not.
Renee,
no.
Yeah. So I have two different opinions on this TV show.
Okay.
The way that it was shot, it's shot kind of like... glamorous,
like a music video.
Like no, it's just shot like very bright and like, and I would feel like if I was Betsy's family and I saw an episode, and it's all about Pam, but if I saw this series about, it literally is about my family member getting murdered, and it's like so. Like charming, like the music even is a little like da 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 da, like Desperate Housewives, like kind of. It was. I was just like, how are they making this like this?
Well, you know, they always glorify the murderer.
I know,
not the person
but like,
who was murdered.
Fuck, man, that pisses me off.
Yeah, it's awful.
So on December 27, 2011, Betsy Ferrara underwent chemotherapy for her terminal cancer and then visited her mother's house, after which she was driven home by Pam Hubb, the last confirmed person to have seen her alive. Betsy had originally planned on being driven home by her husband, Russ, or staying the night with her mom until Pam unexpectedly arrived and insisted on driving her home. Pam was a friend who had worked at State Farm with Betsy. So Pam claimed that she had dropped Betsy off at approximately 7 p.m. At approximately 7:21 p.m., a call to Betsy from one of her daughters went unanswered. Betsy's husband, Russ, spent the evening at his friend's home watching movies and playing role-playing games from 6 to 9 p.m. Then he drove to an Arby's before returning home to find his wife dead at the scene. At 9:40 p.m., Russ called 911 saying that he had come home to find his wife had killed herself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Betsy had been stabbed over 55 times with her wrist cut to the bone and knife left lodged in her neck.
So he just saw blood everywhere.
So I asked my dad. I was like, okay.
You can't see the stabs through
clothes.
So
that's what he said. He was like, there was probably so much blood. But I was like, 55 fucking stab wounds?
Well, I never know someone who would stab themselves in the neck if it was suicide.
Like, yeah. I mean, I mean,
I don't
obviously,
know. Maybe it happens.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, well, you'll
get desperate.
No, you will. You'll hear about Pam later on. The fucking shit she tried to do. So Betsy's time of death was later reported as being between 7:20 and 9:41 p.m. So immediately police focused their efforts on Russ, as you do the
of
husband.
Course.
I mean, things were fishy. 55 stab wounds.
Yeah.
It obviously didn't look like a suicide. And then they said that his suicide call or his call to 911 operators sounded ludicrous. Like he sounded too
emotional.
Yeah. Too emotional.
So
first of all,
so
who
either
the
you're
fuck
not
is
emotional,
judging?
You're too emotional.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck
like
off.
It's crazy. And then the police searched the house and uncovered a blood stained pair of slippers in his closet. Mm. So and then they took a polygraph test, but that shit, like, I mean,
if
you're
nervous.
If you're like, your wife was just like thought she just killed herself.
Yeah,
and then you're learning that it was a murder.
Right.
Of course.
And you're being questioned.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes. So meanwhile, Pam Hubb was all too happy to be interviewed by police, claiming that Russ had a violent temper, that he was a heavy drinker, that he had threatened Betsy, who had been considering leaving him, and that he was angry when he learned Betsy has renamed Pam the beneficiary of a life insurance policy. I don't know what kind of friend would be able to talk me into.
But I'm not giving you my life insurance
Danielle,
policy.
Danielle,
sorry.
Hey, Danielle, listen, just in case.
If I end up dead and it's made out to Scout, she did it.
Okay, so she also told another story that he had on one occasion held a pillow on Betsy's face and said that this is what it feels like to die. On Pam's tip, police searched Betsy's laptop. So she tipped the fucking... She tipped
she
these guys.
She
set it all up, like literally like a puzzle piece.
She of course
was,
she did.
And she like in the show, the way it was done, she was just kind of, it was like laying paper down and being like, oh, what is that? Oh my God. Like they were stupid, like to believe that this woman had nothing to do with it. So they found a letter written on the lab.
But that takes more work on the part of the police, right? Yeah. It takes more work to look into her than to just go ahead and try to get the husband. Yeah.
Yeah. So they found a document in which she expressed fears that her husband would kill her. So Russ was charged with first degree murder and remains in jail until his trial. So during Russ's trial, his defense attorney, Joel Swartz, argued that the testimonies of the four friends he had visited, cell phone records provided his exact location at his friend's house 20 miles away from the murder scene, and evidence of him making purchases from different stores over the course of the evening, demonstrating that the timeline did not allow for him to commit the murder. And there were no traces of blood on his body or clothes. There was nothing. So prosecuting attorney Lee Askey, I swear she's a fucking moron, countered that Russ' friends were providing a false alibi.
Oh.
And conspired with him to do the murder, including holding onto his cell phone and posing as him to buy food at an Arby's.
Okay.
To prove his whereabouts.
Okay.
As an ultimate role play.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's it. The trial judge refused to allow Schwartz to present evidence implicating Pam as a suspect. So that was interesting.
I don't understand why.
I don't get it. This is why. This woman, it was a small town. This Lee Askey, the prosecuting attorney, she was so close with everybody. She was close. She was like really buddy buddies with the trial judge. She also was having a relationship with one of the assistant medical examiners. Like, so she, it was
so she
like,
was shitting where she eats.
Yeah, literally. It was a very, very, very tight, tight, tight thing. So, the trial judge refused to allow, including cell phone records showing that she had been in the vicinity of Betsy's house for up to 30 minutes after the time she claimed to have dropped her off. Mm. Or that Betsy had made Hub the sole beneficiary, which is interesting that she didn't mention. In a secret hearing during the trial, Pam claimed that she had put $100,000 of the insurance money in a trust for Betsy's daughter. This was later found to be untrue. So she said to Betsy, Pam claims, she said to Betsy that I will take care of your children and I will set up a trust for both of them. She did not.
She kept the fucking money. Why couldn't she just leave the kids the beneficiary?
I don't know.
And then
I don't know how this
Pam, as the trustee for the estate.
I don't know how this woman fooled this Betsy to do any of this shit.
Did she forge it?
No.
She didn't forge it.
She didn't forge it.
Come on.
So on November 21st, 2013, Russ was convicted, and a month later he was sentenced to life plus 30 years imprisonment without possibility of parole. Could you imagine going to jail?
No.
For something you didn't, like, it's...
There's a lot of people
that, I know. It just upsets me. So I'll kind of make this short here. But with Russ sent to jail, Pam stayed busy. So her mom, Shirley, was living in Lakeview Park Independent Senior Living. And she was suffering from dementia and arthritis.
This is Pam's mom?
This is Pam's mom. Okay. So she
killed her, right?
She
threw off the balcony?
Yeah. So she on October 29, 2013, when she left there visiting her mom, she told the staff to not go up there for dinner, that her mom just wanted to rest, and to not bug her for breakfast, to like let her be. And so the housekeeper found her beneath the balcony of her apartment at 2:30 the fucking following day. But the balcony railing was broken. And they pretty much concluded that she had died from a blunt trauma to the chest resulting from an accidental fall. So it was ruled an accident, but by the force. So while this is all happening, I forgot to mention, Dateline is doing a special on Pam because they also too believe that this fucking woman murdered Betsy. And now Pam's mom just fucking wound up dead. So they're going in and they're trying to fucking like get this woman caught. And
we need to work for Dateline.
Dude, we need to. But they literally said the force that it would take to break this railing is not from an accident, from this old lady.
So what did she smash her head into it or her body into it?
Her body.
She smashed her body into it.
Her body.
It.
I mean, imagine that force having to break it.
From your child.
Yeah, from your child. So the next month, the sheriff's office received an anonymous note suggesting Hub, the last person known to have seen her mom alive, had murdered her mother for the life insurance. Mm. Hub and her siblings received approximately $120,000 of investments, as well as sharing $10,000 life insurance payout. Earlier that year, prior to her mother's death, Hub had been videotaped. So she was videotaped while she was being interrogated. And she says, "My mom's worth $500,000 that I get when she dies. If I really want money, there was an easier way than trying to combat somebody that's physically stronger than me." So she had already said that in an interview. Mm. And then later her mom turns up dead. So meanwhile, the St. Louis Post Dispatch reported that Hub had kept the $150,000 rather than put it in the trust for the friends, like I said. She had also contradicted herself during police interviews, such as initially claiming she had not entered Betsy's house after driving her home, but later revising this account, not once, twice. Further reporting revealed the 911 operator who had taken Russ's call believed he had been genuinely hysterical. The article also alleged that Askey, the prosecutor, had been in a relationship, like I said. So during all this, Russ's attorney, Joel Schwartz, appealed Russ's conviction. In the retrial, Schwartz was allowed to introduce evidence, finally, after the mother passed away, evidence implicating Pam Hub as the perpetrator. CSI agents who had examined the crime scene testified that she believed the slippers found in Russ's closet had not gotten bloodied by stepping in blood. Mm. And police officers disclosed that to Hub, who was not called to testify and claimed in interviews conducted in June that she and Betsy had been in a sexual relationship. So all of a sudden she was like, oh, well now.
And we're bi.
We're bi. But she was like, I'm not gay. We just loved each other. We just had a really strong connection. Hub also told police that she had remembered. She came up with another thing. Oh. I remember seeing Russ and another man in a car parked in a side street outside of the house as she drove Betsy home.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Dude, on November 7, 2016, Russ conviction was overturned and he was released from prison.
How many years did he stay in jail for?
4 years.
Ugh.
So in March 2020... He received a settlement over $2 million.
That's not enough.
Which is not enough at all. Back in 2016, Pam was sweating the new evidence being presented and wanted the heat off of her. Shortly after 12 noon on August 16th, 2000, this is what's so fucking sad. 2016, Louis Gumpenberg, I hope I pronounced that right. A man with physical and mental disabilities following a car wreck died after Pam Hub shot him 5 times in her home. $900 was found on his body, along with a note bearing instructions to kidnap Pam, get Russ's money from Hub at her bank, and kill Hub. And to take Hub back to the house and get rid of her. Make it look like Russ's wife.
Trying to.
Yeah. Like a perfectly written note. In return, you'll get $10,000. So Hub claimed that Lewis was armed with a knife, jumped out of a car driven by another person that she described
like Russ.
Looked like Russ.
Yeah.
Into her driveway and then shoved her into the SUV in her garage and demanded she drive to a bank to retrieve Russ's money. Hub claims that she had knocked the knife out of Lewis's hand and then fled into her house, shooting Lewis in self-defense with a gun she kept on her nightstand after he pursued her. So this is where, dude.
Wow, what a crazy life this bitch has led.
Like how? And this is like a mom. She's like a mom. She literally looks like a mother. Like she, I just don't understand how this woman... First of all, I think about her husband and her son, and they were shown a lot in the series, and they kind of were scared of her, too.
Mm.
They had to have known, right? They had to have been suspicious.
I'm gonna guess.
So what kind of set it all downhill was the evidence against Pam for this murder. Cell phone records show that Hub had been in the neighborhood less than 1 hour before the shooting, contradicting her claim that she had never met him before.
Okay.
And a police report filed with the police stating that a woman matching Hub's description had approached another residence prior, which was Carol Alford, And she said that she was a Dateline NBC producer offering $1,000 to reenact a 911 call. Security cameras captured the whole fucking thing. So she was caught in a lie. Police investigators found nine $100 bills in Lewis's pocket. A tenth found on Hub's dresser had matching serial numbers to four of the nine bills. Like, this bitch is stupid too. Like, stupid. So the list goes on. The list goes on. But the fact that this poor, poor man had to be murdered because she was trying to put everything back to Russ. And also, she was a realtor, mm-hmm. and nobody wanted to buy her properties anymore.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. So she was losing business. She was running out of the fucking money.
I didn't know that it's serial numbers. So when you go to the bank or go to the ATM and pull out money.
I didn't know this
money,
either. Is that right? I didn't know this either. But that's what they said. Yeah, it matched. It like matched the... apparent, I don't know.
As money's printed, I know
yeah.
it. But I didn't know that it stays there unless maybe if you get it, like I said, you know when you get it from the bank and it's all crisp
yeah.
and new?
Yeah.
Maybe that's.
Yeah, maybe that.
I mean, it's not going it to be like hundreds from random.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she was taken in. So she was taken in on August 23rd, 2016. Hub was arrested and charged with first degree murder and armed criminal action. Upon being arrested, she asked to visit the bathroom. And you can see in the surveillance video, which I actually, you can see in the video that she literally goes, when they walk out, the cops left a pen and she goes secretly to snatch the pen and hide it. And she has to use the bathroom. I don't know if you know this. She used the pen to stab her. And she was seen like looking for her artery. She used the pen when she was in the bathroom to stab herself in the neck. And wrists.
Because she wanted to try to kill herself?
Because she wanted to fucking kill herself. And they got in there. But like these pictures of her with... could you imagine fucking stabbing yourself with that pen right there that you're holding?
No.
Like literally.
No.
You have to fucking yeah. over and over on each side and no. then your wrists.
I don't even know that's not even possible.
Yeah. So Hub entered an Alford guilty plea, waiving her rights to a jury trial. Fucking bitch. As a condition of her plea agreement, Hub did not face the death penalty. She was sentenced to life without parole in August 2019. Fuck this bitch. Like, seriously.
She's crazy.
Crazy. Poor Betsy.
Poor Betsy.
Poor Louis. Poor all of them. Poor her mom. Like, all of them. She's this woman
wants
killed three people.
To live a life like this. Like, how do you only read about this stuff, but it's like, I can't even imagine. Like, that's what your time on earth has been spent doing.
Yeah.
You know, that's your story. That's your story you came here to do. Well.
Yeah. What a light case. All right, guys.
Jesus. Well, happy Tuesday.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to send us questions. podcast@talkscarytome.com. What else do we have?
TikTok, Talk Scary to Me. Yes. We've got our Instagram.
And if you want to watch the videos, you guys.
Patreon.
Join our Patreon.
Yes.
We love ya. Bye.
Bye.